Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Did you know I'm Facebook friends with Joey's dad? The guy who cuts our videos? Jason Lloyd in for Anthony Lima today. I just realized that. How do you think of that, Owen?
Well, he told us because he came on the podcast when he first came in. Joey, right?
Yes.
Said his cousin and you have a big interaction, right?
Yes. His cousin's a hoot, man. It's a hoot. Wow. Twitter reactions brought to you by Schaibin Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Yes.
So I guess Joey's whole family is getting in on the act before Joey will ever
There's also one who is who's going into coaching as well. Now, I don't know if that's a brother of Joey or not. There's Gino that looks like he's going into coaching. Do we want to rank Joey's family? Do we want to do that?
I don't know how to say his last name.
So. Okay. Korzenowski. We should do power rankings on how to pronounce his last name. His dad, his cousin, and Gino.
Joey doesn't make the list.
And Joey goes out of his way to get me killed on the internet, so.
Well, I like him already.
You go and give your flowers to everyone.
You're sweaty. Look at you.
I had to walk quite a ways.
You are sweating your ass off.
You look like you just walked up the fairway on the 18th.
It's hot out there.
You look like
a
train wreck.
Dabs of sweat.
You
That's
sure?
It. Yes.
You sure?
Yes, I'm fine. Best shape of my life.
You look like Chris Farley at 1:29 in the morning
you
at the
go
end
out
of an
there and
SNL
race
episode.
Right now? I'll race you in these.
I'm not racing. I'm glad you wore decent clothes.
Dudes.
I'm glad you actually wore decent clothes to work
they
today.
They weren't for you.
Instead of your pajamas.
I did have a robe I was going to grab on the way out the door just to mess with you.
I was going to be upset with you. You're a grown man for crying out loud. A father of what, 3?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Daryl Ryder, 7:22 this morning. Is Kevin Stefanski overrated or underrated? Are we carrying water for Kevin Stefanski? Is he overrated, underrated? Now, I've called you the Culligan man many, many times over for Kevin. Now, all jokes aside, I mean, this show has been pretty pro-Kevin in the past. Pro Football Focus, PFF, they had their top 10 rankings of the coaches. And a lot of people were surprised that they saw a coach of a 3-14 team here at number 10 overall in Kevin Stefanski. Because I'm going, man, Browns fans and Steelers fans, personally, they don't have a lot in common. Geographically, they have a lot in common. We're very close. But they got this
of returning coaches.
Yeah.
Yes, returning coaches.
Because Mike Vrabel is not on that list.
Well,
and had they just included everyone that is coaching currently.
Well, if you want me to go down that,
Kevin would not be in the top 10.
You want me to go ahead and go down and make that mistake again like I did with Freddie Kitchens and Mike Vrabel that day?
It won you the bad take tournament.
I was an emotional boy that day. So he comes in at number 10 overall. And a lot of people, how can a guy at 3 wins, 3-14 be? See, this is why, so many people, and I had this argument yesterday with Danny. I got to judge him on something. I want to feel whether it's right or wrong, because I think Browns fans, Steelers fans, and Browns fans have this in common. They are both critical of their head coach to the point of wanting that guy to go. I think the approval rating with Kevin Stefanski as we're getting ready to go into the year is probably hovering somewhere around 40%. I think it's higher than Andrew Berry's right now going into the year, but I think that a Browns fan looks at that list and sees and goes, man, you got to be like, what more has to happen? It's like, okay, this year is the ultimate year for Kevin. It's not even about playoffs to me. It's certainly not about Super Bowls to me or anything like that. I'm going, man, I have had this knockdown, drag-out argument every year for the last 6 years, and something's going to have to give. Something's going to happen. Clearly, he either can help a quarterback and can get that guy right if that guy's able to work with him, or he's definitely overrated and we've been wasting our time, one of the two. Like, if they get to like 7-8 wins somewhere, and you have a young guy play well, or anybody play well in this group for that matter. It's like, all right, guys, there's definitely something here that the guy does well. We can't keep ripping on Kevin Stefanski all the time. But if they go out and they're a 3-win football team again, and he looks like he's powerless over all this stuff, which I don't know how the defending coach of the year has his power seemingly taken away from. That's a totally different conversation. I mean, I'm going to lose my mind. I need some clarity to be able to identify what's good and what's not with the Cleveland Browns.
I think they're closer to a 3-win team than an 8-win team.
Which is what scares me too, yes. So at the end of this, if I make it, see what makes me fearful, because I don't know. I know what I've said about him in the past. I've blamed Deshaun Watson for Deshaun Watson's problems. And the stories that came out with Bill O'Brien basically having to run this offense that nobody else would run in the NFL because he doesn't know how to read defenses or couldn't watch film or one of the other ones. I've put it on Deshaun Watson. I didn't know why they took away his play calling capabilities. I don't know why, for all these reasons, that they had to make these change. I think that that's part of the reason why Bill Callahan just left, and he had a great excuse for it, to go coach with his son, because I think he saw the writing on the wall and he didn't agree with it.
Yes.
And now you have, I think Mike Bloomberg's going to be a really good coach for this football team on their offensive line. I think that we'll see what Tommy Rees can do, but I'm more confident that the offense is really in the hands of Kevin Stefanski here. It's like, hey, man, I'm not even asking for the world, but it does seem to feel like it's put up or shut up time. How many different quarterbacks do we have to go through? And if one of these guys look good, like really good at some point, it's like, okay, now he gets his credit, and we know that there's been a lot of things that have been dumped into his lap over 6 years.
And we said when I was in Monday, we agreed that they're looking to find their quarterback next year.
Yes.
So what if these guys don't look good? Are you going to hold it against them?
Someone's going to have to hold it against them somehow. Did he not like Dylan Gabriel?
Yeah, he did.
He loved Dylan Gabriel, didn't he?
Well,
so you're going to have to hold it against him if Dylan Gabriel goes out there and looks listless.
I mean, if you really love Dylan Gabriel, why don't you take him with the third overall pick?
Well, because that's probably insane to take him with the third overall. It was the second overall pick, wasn't it?
If you love him. I'm sorry, yeah. But if you love him. You see what I'm saying? Like, there's levels to this. Yeah, you may like them for what you have to be. You can only shop at the groceries that are available.
Do you think that he was overdrafted in the third round?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So he's still really, really, maybe not loved, but he really liked Dylan Gabriel.
But
you're taking a guy in the third round, you're eventually going to play him this year from what it seems. And there's a lot of folks outside of the building who are really uncomfortable with that. Now, there's definitely players in that locker room like, this kid knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
He knows this offense and he knows this nomenclature. And if he were 6'5", there'd be no question about it, but he's not. If he goes out there and he looks bad, you know we're going to get inundated, and I have no fight against him going, hey, this guy thinks he knows quarterbacks. He goes out there and he takes a 5'10 quarterback, and the guy can't see over the line, and he's throwing pick after pick after pick. If you can't help out Shador Sanders, he's an incredibly popular quarterback, it's going to be hard to make an argument for him. It's just, it's been 6 years. And I think that he's made quarterbacks that I think have been on the margins play better. Yeah, go back to 2020 with Baker. Do it. Say it. Feel it. But with the mess that's become the Deshaun Watson saga, like somebody has to answer to that at some point with this fan base.
Then they should have fired him after last year. They should have fired everybody after last year.
But I didn't want him to.
I didn't either.
Least, but I say going into this year, there has to be something.
But if
I can't just keep repeating it.
But you know that this year is the collateral damage of the awful mistake that was Deshaun. This year is you gotta pay the bill for that. That's what this season is. So why would you fire him now? If you were going to fire him after last season, because last season was an absolute disaster for everybody in the building.
But I still think you could look at this season at if they win like 6 or 7 games. And I know you're saying it's closer to 3 wins, and I think a lot of people would agree with you. You win 6 or 7 games this year, and I don't think that if you win 6 or 7 games, any of these quarterbacks are probably going to like the quarterback of your future. But if Dylan Gabriel shows you something, I could very well sit here and say, yeah, Dylan Gabriel showed me something, and I'm still drafting a quarterback in the first round next year, and I'm still putting Kevin Stefanski with that quarterback. Because if he can get this, this, and this from any one of these four guys, then I think he's proven to everybody that he can work with decent quarterbacks if the quarterback's able to help himself.
I mean, he got P.J. Walker to look functional as an NFL quarterback.
But we don't want to remember that. Because the biggest investment that they made, $235 million in 3 first-round picks, has been listless.
And he has to wear some of that. They all do. All of them over there have to wear that. And that's why I said, if you want to hold them accountable for Deshaun, then why are they still here? You should have fired them last year. But now that you kept them, you can't, like, what's the sense in firing them now? You know they're going to be bad. Why would you fire them now?
But part of the reason, and I think about timing with everything on this, is it because he's still here? Because he'll probably be gone by next June.
Deshaun?
Yes.
No, so, I don't think it didn't work. Like, the owner came out and said it didn't work.
But you can't get rid of him yet. So he's more than likely gone by next June.
Yeah.
So if he's more than likely gone by next June, I mean, off the salary looks it'll never come off the books.
We'll see. I hear what you're saying.
You're not going to be gone by next June?
With the cap? I think that's a possibility, but I can't sit here and say definitively.
Okay, fair enough. But more than likely, if he were gone by next June,
yeah,
you could sit there and go, well, new general manager, new head coach, we've got a new quarterback coming in. He'll be post June 1st, goodbye, and then we can go on. Or I could look at it and go, well, he may be gone anyway post June 1st, the quarterback. I could see that he did a good job with Kenny Pickett. Kenny Pickett was on the scrap heap. You got Nick Sirianni, who's one of the greatest peacockers of all time. But you got something out of Kenny Pickett there. Congratulations, you did well. You got one more little ride out of Joe Flacco. You got shuck out what was ever left in the tank, and you were able to get it there. And then one of these two rookie quarterbacks ended up being composed and conducted the offense well and got guys to trust him throughout the year. And they might not, none of those guys may be the future for this football team, but I could look at it in the end and go, I trust Kevin. I want Kevin to lead it going forward with this next quarterback. We may use both our picks on to go get. That, I think, is one of these goals that I think that people have to set for this football team this year.
I wholeheartedly
finding
agree.
Finding some clarity.
But it usually comes down to just wins. That's what people are. That's how they're going to judge him by his wins. And I don't think this is a season.
And I'm saying 6 or 7 wins. It's not like I'm asking for the world here, brother.
And I still think that's a high bar.
New stadium coming. Many amenities will be built. My goal is to use every single restroom the first season.
What?
I'm a big fan of restrooms. Clean ones, too. Daryl Ryder joins us right now.
You're weird.
It's brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Yes, I am. Jason Lloyd in for Anthony Lyman today. Daryl, how the hell are you?
Very kind of you, Ken, to be willing to test out the plumbing in the new barn dominium.
Know that, brother. Oh, but, you don't like the new stadium being built now? You're not a fan?
No, I love it, but that's what I call it because that's what it looks like. It looks like a barn dominium.
Come on.
If the plumbing can withstand Ken, then we're in good shape.
Yes, exactly.
What are you trying to say?
Nothing.
Yeah, let's not say any further. All right, Daryl, how did this all come together yesterday? I mean, you've been in the ground floor of all this. You've had boots on the ground, everything else. What can you make of all that, bud?
The process really is going to come to a conclusion once Governor Mike DeWine puts his signature on the budget. But the conference committee early Wednesday morning pushed this across the finish line by modifying the Modell law, which basically is going to kill Cleveland's lawsuit against the Browns. They modified the language to clarify the actual intent of the law, and that is to prevent professional sports teams who play in any taxpayer-supported stadium from leaving the state of Ohio. So that clarifies that and will free up the Browns to go ahead and move to Brook Park without any legal consequence. So once this officially becomes law, look for that lawsuit from the city of Cleveland to go bye-bye. But basically, the Senate plan of using the escheatment of $1.7 billion from the team or from the state's unclaimed property fund, which has grown to $4.8 billion to date now, that will create a new sports and culture facility fund. The Browns are going to get a $600 million grant from that. $1.1 billion is going to be left over for the Cincinnati Bengals and Reds and Blue Jackets and anyone else that has a stadium project that needs some state money. And, look for shovels to go on the ground here in late April or early March of 2026.
I guess the Guardians were a little early on their renovation. If I'm over there, I'm furious right now.
Well, Jason, I can tell you that their eyes got a little big.
They got almost nothing from the state for their renovation.
Here's the difference here, Jason, is and this money that the Browns are getting is not coming from the general fund. The Guardians are actually getting money from the state general fund. The politicians that want to bemoan the fact that the Browns are getting this money while other programs in the state budget have been cut or reduced or whatever, like, don't blame the Browns for that. Like, this isn't the Browns' fault. The Browns' funding has zero impact on those other programs, and it has zero impact on the state's ability to fund those other programs. It's just the legislature chose to make the other decisions that they did within the state budget. This money is, you know, the funding the Browns are getting does not impact the general fund, is not coming from it, does not affect the state's ability to sell bonds for various things that they sell bonds for and whatnot. So it's a little, some of the rhetoric coming from politicians right now, I know shocking, is a little disingenuous to be blaming the Browns for decisions the legislature made in other areas.
But, easy target, though. Come on, you got to admit.
Oh, absolutely. It's a big target. You're absolutely right, Ken. And I get it. It's political theater. And there's obviously been a ton of political theater throughout this entire process. But you know, to Jason's point about the Guardians, yeah, I mean, I talked to a couple folks over there, and I just said, well, they're building a dome. You guys just kind of rearranged the furniture over here, you know, and from that standpoint, they get it. But I have a feeling that more work to that ballpark is coming here in the months and years to come.
It's an entirely different conversation we'll have to get into now, but the Guardians would love to have a dome. I just think the timing on this is wild from their perspective, that if they had waited a little bit longer,
they could have done what they really wanted to do to that ballpark.
The domed Guardians.
Oh, have you been in Cleveland in March and April?
No.
Of course they'd want a dome. Yes. But it's just a non-starter with where they're like, they don't have an owner who can put up the type of money that Jimmy's putting up. So it was always a non-starter.
Could you build a dome on top of that stadium?
No.
No.
I was about to say.
You would. So I've actually looked into this.
Oh.
You would, to put a retractable roof on Progressive Field, the structure would actually be over in the cemetery. Like, that's how much space it takes up.
Whoa.
So it's impossible. You could not put a roof on that existing. You'd have to build. It's. I don't want to even get it.
We'd have to dig up graves. That's poltergeist, brother. The Guardians have enough problems as it is.
They've got a new lease, and it's not even worth getting into. But, Daryl, I do got to say, well, two things. One, while we're clearing up misnomers and things that are not true, this drove me crazy when it first was going around. They did not take money from education to give it to the Haslams.
They did not. Absolutely.
There is not one district in the state of Ohio receiving less money in the new budget than got in the previous budget. And again, I don't want to go too far down the road, but that's the whole way that state schools have been funded is unconstitutional. They've been trying to fix it for close to 20 years. But there is not one district in Ohio receiving less money. That's important to understand. The way that this was framed is that they're taking money from education and giving it to the Haslams. That is right. Not true. But in terms of the Modell law, I got to say, and I wanted the dome. I can't recall. I'm not an attorney. I can't recall lawmakers changing a law in the middle of a lawsuit.
Yeah.
That, like, think about that. That is kind of insane.
Well, yeah, I'll be honest with you, Jason. Yeah, I saw a headline yesterday. I won't say the outlet, but the headline was Ohio lawmakers gut Modell law to allow Browns to move. And that's not what happened. They changed the wording and just put in from the state to clarify.
I think
because
they went
the whole reason Cleveland was able to file the lawsuit in the first place is because the way the law was written in 1996, it was ambiguous at best. Like, the spirit of the law was to keep the pro teams within the home markets within the state of Ohio.
I don't think the language was ambiguous. I think it was pretty firm, and that's why they had to change it. I actually don't like the way that they changed it to just within the state of Ohio.
Yeah.
I mean, technically, it opens Columbus as a city that could poach a team from Cleveland or Cincinnati.
Yeah.
I think that there was a way, because I agree with Jimmy. At the owners' meetings, Jimmy said, you know, the law was not intended to be to move a team. I'm butchering the quote, but basically he said it was not meant to move a team a mile away, because I asked him, you use the Modell law to get the crew, so why now is this not a hindrance to what you're trying to do here? And he said, you know, it's we're going a mile away. And I agree with what he's saying, but I feel like there was a way to if they're going to rewrite laws, there was a way to do it within the county. Like, is there a way
Can I actually jump in and ask you both a question? Because I think what you just said, you kind of nailed something right there.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Like we've always said, there was a long time when LA didn't have two teams where it was like, hey, they, you know, they use LA as a threat to all these teams, yeah. all these cities about building them stadiums here.
Yeah.
And now I'm looking at it going, okay, I know that there's been rumors about Cincinnati. If they can't get what they need for a stadium, would they move? And I've seen the odds on where they'd go. And I'm like, I don't want any of that. As much as Cincinnati hates us, I really don't care about their fans, but I don't want them to move for crying out loud.
I never want a city to lose its team.
I don't either. And I'm going, wait a minute. Like, is that a workaround? Because it's like Cincinnati could always be a threat to anybody.
Absolutely. Or,
excuse me. Columbus can always be a threat to anybody in the state because it's the one of the fastest growing cities in America. The infrastructure they have down there is... It's about as good as you're going to find in all the Midwest. It's a hell of a threat to throw at another town in the state of Ohio.
Well, and that Modell Law tweak took Kentucky off the board for them. I mean, Kentucky's legit right across the river.
You're right.
So it's, you know, the Chiefs and the Royals right now are pitting the state of Missouri against the state of Kansas. Kansas is ready to build two new facilities for them right now, and they're contemplating it. So. But my understanding is the Bengals are just kind of doing some posturing right now. There's real no legit threat of them leaving, and that next year the framework of their stadium deal is going to be put in place. One of the things that got included within the Browns funding is an additional $400 million grant can be distributed next year for, as they put it, qualifying projects, which means that could be for the Bengals and also the Columbus Blue Jackets, who have announced the $400 million makeover of Nationwide Arena in Columbus. So they are preparing for other teams in the state to come asking with their hands out for state funding for their stadium, arena, and ballpark projects.
I still think DeWine had it right and doubling the state gambling tax. And I was disappointed that he got sort of run over on that because, yeah, I get it with this slush fund basically that they found, or not fond, but they decided to tap
slush
into.
Fund.
What else is it?
It's a hell of a word for
what
it.
What else is it?
Nobody thinks anything good when it comes to slush funds.
But
the same thing as calling someone a czar.
I think the doubling the gambling tax was the way to solve this once and for all for anyone who wanted money in the state of Ohio. So I just, and that's not a Democrat or Republican thing. I thought DeWine had it right on his way out, and I wish he would have stuck to his guns on that.
Yeah, well, and the problem is lawmakers don't like tax increases in election years.
Yeah, I know.
And that would have been a commercial of everyone. So-and-so's raising your taxes, which, oh, again, by the way, another misnomer, that because the perception out there was that if, let's say, I bet $100 on something, or I win $100 on my bet, I got to pay $40 of that to the state of Ohio, and that's not what that tax was going to be.
Yeah.
That's not, but that's what people were believing because of the political theater out there. That hey, DeWine is taking your gambling winnings and giving them to the Cleveland Browns.
Well, so
and that's
what?
Not
who cares,
what he was
who
trying
cares
to
what
do.
The people believe because they're doing all this without putting it in front of the people anyway.
Yeah.
No one's gotten a vote on this.
Yeah,
not one person.
Daryl Ryder, brought to you by Scheibman Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. February 2026 is when we're starting this.
Yeah. One other big thing to come out of this as well, Syntax gets to go back on the ballot, the increase, but there are strings attached. They're only allowed to increase it by so much, and all three teams have to participate as long as they reside in the county. So yesterday was a tough day for Chris Ronayne. Tough day for Justin Bibb. So, I expect that at some point you'll hear county leadership talk about putting the Syntax increase on the ballot probably this fall because Gateway's bleeding money right now. They needed $40 million this year to balance their books, $20 million from Cleveland, $20 million from Cuyahoga County. They need money next year and subsequent years. So that Syntax increase is going to be needed, and we'll be interested to see how the political leadership handles that whole deal.
So what happens if the Syntax doesn't get passed?
Well, then it stays the same. Okay. There would be no increase. And I believe, don't quote me on this, I believe that the last re-up in 2014 goes through 2036. 2034, 2036 in that ballpark. And the reason the lawmakers did this was because in 95 and in 2014, voters approved participation for the Browns. And so what the state said is, well, voters have twice approved Browns participation. You can't take them out now. So
I have felt for a while like a lot of this was unnecessary. I think Jimmy was willing to go to the city and say, just give us a number. Just give us a number. We'll write you a check and this all goes away. And that it never really happened and it went a much uglier route. So
you're like the third person to say that who has like credentials of knowing these sort of things. So it makes me feel that they actually maybe thought about that.
Well, but guys, they made an offer to the city of Cleveland and Bibb didn't want to take their phone call.
So, but here's where I'm going with it. All that's gone now. So, and Jimmy has said before, he's committed to helping see the waterfront redevelopment through and da-da-da-da. So, well, now he got everything he wanted. Does he still participate in taking down the stadium and renovating the lakefront? Or does he say, well, you had your chance. We're out. Figure it out. Good luck. Goodbye.
Yeah, I'll tell you this. There isn't much of an appetite right now to do much for the city of Cleveland based on just the way they have handled things, both privately as well as publicly. The Browns did try to do this the right way. They kept their mouth shut about their intentions until federal funding was announced, and then the mayor decided to upstage them. The mayor told them privately, hey, we want to work with you on making this a very smooth transition for everybody. The Browns expressed interest in doing exactly what you talked about, Jason, helping the city with removing that stadium from the lakefront and preparing the area for future development and that. So, and then it got real litigious and ugly. So I don't know if there's much appetite for the Browns to do much for the city of Cleveland. I would say this, if I were advising the Browns right now, I would, when it comes to lakefront development, I tell the city to pound salt. However, when it comes to the stadium, I would just for the goodwill PR say, you know what, we'll take down the stadium. However, we get to sell off pieces and parts to fans, and we'll donate the money, the proceeds of that, to our Browns Foundation charities. And then that I think helps the Browns from a PR standpoint, makes them out to be the bigger man in this whole ugly fiasco that has taken place with the city of Cleveland. But again, after everything that has happened, I don't know what the appetite is for the Browns to do much for Cleveland now.
Daryl, he will be hosting with me tomorrow morning, 6 to 10. He's brought to you by Shiven Jewelers. Daryl, thank you very much for the time, bud. All the best.
You bet, guys, and see you tomorrow, Ken.
Now, the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
The first round of the NBA draft last night, the first of two nights this year. The Cleveland Cavaliers not among the first 30 teams picking their top overall selections, but there were no surprises for the number one team overall, the Dallas Mavericks, and who they were picking at top of the draft.
With the first pick in the 2025 NBA draft, the Dallas Mavericks select Cooper Flagg from Duke University.
Felt like we've known that for over a month since the lottery, and I still think Nico Harrison had the opportunity to do the funniest possible thing last night in making like a huge package for that pick.
No, that would have been funny at all. I think that would have...
Does he escape Dallas that night if he does that?
I don't want to talk about death or anything like that, but I don't know if it would have been
that.
Good. I know that, but how was he going to not escape Dallas? Were they going to hold him hostage like they did DeAndre Jordan back in the day during the free agency period?
That
who was
wild.
The one that they accused?
Kurt
was
Russell.
It? Did they accuse Mark Cuban of driving around and crying?
Yes.
And Mark Cuban like went after one of the reporters about it.
That was the heyday of NFL offseason.
Mark Stein was
or NBA offseason.
It was incredible. Mark Cuban driving around downtown Dallas, streets empty, crying over DeAndre Jordan. There is one thing though. I think Cooper Flagg has a chance to expose to some of us. Not like John Fan of college basketball is his life. And there's a few guys here who watch a lot of college basketball. But I think that he has a chance to expose just how little people are watching college basketball now. Because I was listening to Brian Windhorst, and he was having some people on. Jonathan Givony was on there talking about Cooper Flagg and how big he is physically, that he has... He has a more mature body than an 18-year-old would have, that he's more physically ready to get into this league with grown men who have been in pro work programs, workout, you know, workout scenarios than most a lot of guys going into the league. And I'm thinking, man, if he comes in here, and it's hard to dominate from day one, but if he comes in here and looks dominant after half...
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Half a season. This is an American college basketball player that played at Duke. That's as high level as it gets. But I don't think a lot of people could pick him out of a lineup. And I think there's a lot of people who hold themselves as real sports fans, Jason, who they probably don't recognize. If he walked into a room because he's tall, they would know that this guy's definitely an athlete and a basketball player.
Right.
But if they just saw a picture of him, I don't think that they'd really know. And well, he has a chance to change the league.
They'll know him in October, November, December.
Yes.
They're going to know him.
Feels like the last college superstar he might have had was Zion, who also played at Duke.
And then that thing went to pot.
Yeah.
I mean, he still has a chance. He's got to start liking to play basketball again. Has to take his life seriously.
I saw a tweet that said that the theory for Zion may be that he needs to get traded to a city like the one that our number 5 pick went to last night.
With the 5th pick in the 2025 NBA Draft, the Utah Jazz select Arius Ace Bailey from Rutgers University.
Now, Bailey had been reportedly kind of altering his stock a little bit with certain teams, and apparently the Jazz were not among his radar of teams that he thought he was going to go to, that he wanted to go to, but this is his reality now.
Audio courtesy ESPN. So we didn't get a chance to talk a lot about this young man. It was rumored that he was tanking meetings and workouts to move to where he wanted to go. Now, as time went on, they put more of that on the agent, saying it was his agent trying to manipulate things, that he wanted to be anywhere between, what was it, New York and Atlanta.
Washington. Oh.
East Coast.
Brooklyn, like Brooklyn, New York, and Washington were his top.
Okay, but he wanted to be like more East Coast.
Yeah.
And he ended up...
Utah is not on the East Coast.
Picked by Utah.
He was quoted as saying some very nice things about the Jazz. And I know the guys have lied about their liking of teams before, but it wasn't like with Colin Murray Boyles where he got, was caught actively saying a censored word on television.
I thought it seemed like you were going
to
say it.
No, but it seems like he had a lot of good things to say, but it's a very weird situation in Utah. I told you their top two players, just guys they poached from the Cavs within the last couple of years.
It's a good opportunity for him.
It really is, but man, you are not going to mess with Adam Silver's league. It's not going to happen.
Well, I just think, I mean, there's been countless
examples. Get
ready
to learn Utah, buddy, speak it.
There's countless examples of teams that ignore the wishes of players who say don't take this, of agents, I should say, who say don't take this guy here, and they do it anyway, and oftentimes it works out fine.
I'm going to take you to a team that no player should go to here, but this is another Duke top prospect along with Cooper Flagg.
All right.
With the 4th pick in the 2025 NBA Draft, the Charlotte Hornets select Con Knipple from Duke University.
Did you see how many brothers? I did not realize that Con Knipple and his huge family had that many brothers, all with the same number of K names of this family.
You thinking the same thing I'm thinking, Owen, when we hear that?
Yep.
Okay. Just making sure. You got to be careful how you're saying that last name, bud. Yeah. It's not dumpable, I'm just saying.
We got to be careful with the middle name. We don't know any of the middle names.
Moving on there, bud. He's got like six different. He's got like six different brothers there that I saw up there.
I think it was he has four other brothers.
Then
yes.
Who are the other people?
His brothers: Kager, Kinson, Cash, and Kid.
He's got a
Kager.
He's got a brother named Kager.
K A G E R.
Kager.
Kager.
Yeah, maybe Kager. I'm not sure.
K A G E R.
I'm pretty
Kager.
Sure the other ones: Kinson, Cash, and Kid.
You don't name your kid Kager. I mean, you can, but. I just wouldn't do it.
Their parents, Shari and Khan Sr.
Is that with a K or with a C?
Shari's with a C, Khan's with a K.
So they had to name all their kids with a K?
Yeah. Is that? I mean, I know you got. You obviously didn't do that with your kids.
Oh, we
did.
We have all A's.
Okay, you have all A's. I feel like I can't do that when I have
you
a kid at some point.
You think I had control?
No,
I don't,
but
I didn't name my kids.
Your children. You didn't name them?
No.
I got 2 out of 3.
I'm already wrestling with something with my mother right now. She wants me to name one of my kids Chet if I have a boy.
You're going to have children soon.
I think she's got more problems
not
on her
that I know
than
of.
What you're going to name them. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much.
What?
I tagged Owen in. He hit the rocker dropper, and it's 1, 2, 3.
Mitch didn't even hear
him. I'm missing. I'm completely
yeah, don't
hear
worry.
What said.
Don't happens, worry about man. It, Mitch. Don't you worry
That's how
about
it. Happens.
It. Don't you worry about
you
it.
You think you're in the match, then all of a sudden, Frankensteiner out of nowhere.
Jesus,
poor Mitch.
Even
there with
ass
my
ass
chain
poor
mail,
Mitch.
Telling you about the math.
I'm going to get Mitch off the hook.
Go ahead.
We did all A's. We did the because my wife's an A, and we named all the kids A's.
You're a real A sometimes too.
We didn't do any of that. I just thought names that sounded cool to me, and that's what it was. There was 2 out of 3 that I named, and you want me to tell you the names?
Sure.
You want to guess which one name the one I didn't name. You ready? Axel, Eli, Jonah. Which one did I not name, Jason?
Well, I know you named Axel. I will say Jonah.
Exactly. I did not name Jonah.
Poor kid.
You kind of went with the A thing, though. You Axel, Eli, you kind of had that A
e
sounding name.
E is with an E.
I'm aware of that, but it's the same phonetic sound.
No, E is an E.
I think it is. Axel, Eli, Jonah, that's different.
Okay.
A, E, J.
Yeah.
Those are 3 different things.
I understand that, but the first two are sounding similar. I think they sound the same.
So the Knepples have like 8 kids.
This is a crash.
And burn.
This is a crash right now.
And burn. So the Knepples have like what, 8 kids or 4 kids?
At this point, I'm not even sure.
I'm not even doing that. Power rank the sounds that Mitch thinks are all the same.
Poor Mitch.
You're on the dock, guys. Choose them.
Those are your sounds.
What was that? What was
the
last one there?
You got any more stories over there for us?
I got a few of them here.
Yeah,
I'm
glad he's up in Mackinac right now and not listening.
Oh, hell yeah. Barely. Oh, God. I hope he doesn't have cell phone reception up there. Old man ain't going to be happy.
Got a few of them here. This is from 95.7 The Game, San Francisco yesterday. Larry Bear, talking, the CEO of the Giants, talking about the possibility of honoring one of the Giants legends here very soon.
You know, certainly Barry's deserving of a statue, and you know, I would say it should be next up. And we don't have the exact location, the exact date, the exact timing, but Barry's around a lot more recently and this year and last year as well. He has great relationships, you know, across the team. It's coming. All I can say is it's coming.
Home Run King, Barry Bonds, finally getting a statue.
I like this. I really do. I know that he was seen as a cantankerous. Jason, you're older than me. But, like, I read a lot of Gene Wojciechowski where I think Gene Wojciechowski really had it in for him.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was, you know, I was
young.
He
wasn't the only one.
Yeah. Oh, I know that. But I was young, and he wasn't nice to the media. And I know that there was the one time they basically cornered him on that picnic table. And he's like, all right, you got me. You've finally done it to me. Like, you could tell he's about to just take out a baseball bat and start swinging at everybody like he was in a corn video. I think this is nice. I know that he was basically the biggest villain in sports for a couple of years, for a number of years. To see everybody kind of drop their weapons and look at it and go, hey, man, you know, yeah, I know, cream, clear, Balco, that whole thing, but it wasn't like Major League Baseball was really coming after you that hard during it. It's entertaining. There were people canoeing out there in the bay. The statues are for fans.
Yes.
And these things are for fans. And if that fan base loves Barry Bonds, and God bless them, I'm glad they get
give
their
him a statue.
Statue. Yeah. I'm glad that they have a good. Fans should be able to enjoy their favorite players. God bless them. I'm glad that it's going well, and I'm glad he's got a statue.
That's it for about last night.
Like, it's the same thing we talk about, like, when it came to, like, there's always, like, well, you know, if so-and-so leave, like, the Nick Chubb thing. When Nick was a free agent, like, we had people calling in here, if he ends up with Pittsburgh, I'm like, no, come on, guys. Like, no. And we probably don't have to worry about that.
What?
But it's
finish
like,
the sentence. If he winds up with Pittsburgh,
like,
what?
They're going to hate him.
Oh, well,
oh, yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, oh yeah, we had callers calling in saying that. And I'm like, well, it would bother me. It would certainly bother me if he went to Pittsburgh and did well. But it's like, hey, man, I think about these things 20 years from now. It was the same thing with, and I know Kyrie is Kyrie, but when he was really showing his ass on the way out the door, I'm like, I don't want to do this, guys. I want, in 20 years, I want everybody to be able to enjoy that time. Come on out, do the double hand wave when they do the spotlight on you, wave to the crowd, all the crowd waves back. Like, that's what I want for all this
stuff. Next year is the 10-year anniversary of that.
Goes by like that.
It really does.
1.3 million people at that parade. I remember it like it was yesterday. Kenny Kidd handing out adult diapers to everybody.
Seriously?
Yeah, he did. They were taking them. They were like, thank you.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.